Welcome to On a Grand Scale, a podcast that focuses on scaling our value, scaling our organizations, and taking them to the next level. In this podcast, we focus on stuff that helps us to understand who we are and what value we can give to the world and how to scale that, multiply it, and make the world a better place. There's a series that I've been running on the scaling leader, and part of it was, first of all, understanding the mindset of a scaling leader. What is the mindset that a leader needs to have when they are growing an organization? And then there's another one which talks about understanding the value of a scaling leader, understanding the value of a scaling. Today, we're going to be talking about believing in the value, believing in your value. And this is very personal. And we can also take it into the organizations. But from a scaling perspective, I want us to take it much into the personal space and then get into the organizational space. So what is believing in your value? There's one thing that Miles Monroe is to say about leaders. And he would give this example of a lion and an elephant. And he would ask this question, and I'm going to ask you the very same question. What do you think a lion's first instinctive thought is when it's walking in the jungle and it sees an elephant? And what do you think the first instinctive thought of an elephant would be when it sees a lion? Now, here's the answer. And we can argue and debate about it. But because of the lion's hunter mentality, the first thought that I'd assume it comes up with is that that's potential lunch. It can see that there, we could have food for the day. And the elephant's first instinctive thought when it sees a lion is danger. Why? Because there's a history of attacking that it knows from lions. Although the lion is small in size, its instinctive thoughts would not be there is danger. Its instinctive thought would be that's lunch. And that is how the lion becomes the king of the jungle. In the same way, when we take this analogy and we put it into leadership, leaders are people that really, to a degree and to a fault, believe in the value that they've got to offer. They believe in it such that they speak about it. They believe in it such that they are willing to take risks on it. They believe in it such that they are willing to risk being killed by a dangerous elephant, but pursuing it. That is the art of believing in your value. And when we get into multiplying value or scaling, we need as individuals and as teams to be able to uniquely identify our value, but also we have an obligation to believe in that value. Because if we cannot believe in that value, we cannot sell the value that we don't believe. It is up to us to sell what we believe. So how does one get to a place where they believe in their value? You believe in your value when you are able first to number your victories, to appreciate the things that you have done well and celebrate them. Numbering your victories is crucial to believing in who you are and where you are from, and in approaching other people. Imagine a salesperson who really feels like they can't do anything, although they've had a history of past successes. They're doing themselves a disfavor because they are not taking note of the past victories, which can motivate them to become better things. What are some of the victories that you've been through? Another thing about believing in our value has to do with being able to spend time alone. By spending time alone, I mean that being able to spend time alone and being okay with being alone. It also speaks to being able to take a different direction from the rest of the crowd, because you cannot be outstanding. We cannot be outstanding as long as we follow the crowd. So spending time alone, numbering these victories, saying what's great, what has gone out, is a place where, or is an ability that backs us up when things are not going right. So you are able to number your victories, state them, and you are also able to spend time alone. The third thing about scaling leaders who are able to scale their value and in believing in their value is that they are able to meditate positively, meditate on things that make us do right. Meditation usually is a concept that's taken in different ways by different people. I want to speak about a biblical type of meditation in which you fill your mind with positive information that helps you take yourself to the next level. For me, as an example, what gives me the energy to continue when times are dark is reading the Word of God and getting positive affirmations from the Word of God. It is really the place of meditation when I just think about how fearfully and wonderfully made I am. Or when I read Jeremiah and God tells the prophet Jeremiah that before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Just the fact that I am known by God. Or when I meditate on the word that says, so God so loved the world that he gave his only son, it means God loves me. I am loved. I am known. I am unique and fearfully and wonderfully made. You see, we've got the ability to direct the thoughts that we need to have. And thoughts are seeds that really become the big trees in our lives. And if we are not able to think through or direct, at least direct our thinking process in intentional ways, we will find our play ourselves in or with trees that we didn't ask for. So meditation becomes a critical part of believing in your value. The one other thing that adds into believing in your value is knowing that your opinion matters, understanding that your opinion matters in places of work, understanding that your opinion matters in your marriage, understanding that your opinion matters in the marketplace. And being able to articulate that opinion even when other people are against it. It is critical that you are able to know that your opinion matters and that you are able to articulate it in ways that cannot be ignored. No boardroom will benefit from a non-speaking board member who does not voice their opinion, who does not make their point heard. And teams that scale have scaling leaders that have an opinion. And teams that scale have leaders who, and an environment which allows opinions to be heard, and an environment where debate is had, to the point where even there is conflict. And through that conflict, when they work it out, good points come out. But the individual leaders need to be in a place where they're able to give opinions in the first place, because if they can't be giving opinions, then we have a problem. So the scaling leader needs to know that I can't keep quiet when I feel something isn't right. I need to speak up. And the scaling leader also needs to know that their people and their team has opinions that matter, and therefore they need to listen to those opinions. That is how you build a scaling team. A scaling leader who believes in their value needs to embrace who they are. Embrace yourself, embrace your experiences, embrace how you come shaped, embrace your background, and not be ashamed of who you are as a person. You cannot be made to feel inferior because of your gender, because of your race, because of how you look, or because of your abilities or lack thereof. If you come in love with yourself, no one can make you feel inferior. And therefore, a scaling leader embraces who they are. A scaling leader is also so self-aware, such that they are able to remove self-limiting beliefs, identify and remove self-limiting beliefs. They are things that we do that limit our thinking and that limits where we can go. And we need to identify that some of them are self-sabotage mechanisms that we need to identify and destroy. Feelings of we can't call some people, feelings of we can't do things with other people, feelings of inferiority need to be crushed. And leaders who want to scale need to be able to crush these. And then you also want to remove limiting beliefs about God. Now, some of us may not be religiously inclined, but for those who are, this becomes a very critical point, because the moment the God of your understanding is limiting who you are and who you can become, it can become a big stumbling block for you. And most of the times, our understanding is based off of the background and the information we've received before. But if it is not giving us the sense that this is a God who's got unconditional love, a God who knows us, and a God who is for us, it becomes a big, big challenge. And whatever doctrinal inclination you have, if it doesn't fit into this enabling, empowering, loving, kind God, it becomes a challenge to still believe and at the same time believe that things are going to go well for you. Now, there is a story in the Bible that speaks about someone who really believed in their value, a young teenager who killed Goliath, and his name is David. And part of what made him, the examples of some of the things that I've just been talking about that made him one of the greatest, is that he was able to encourage himself. Spend some time alone. He was able to encourage himself. It says, and David encouraged himself when things were hard, when he had led some people to victory and then came back home and found that the wives and kids had been taken away and all possessions had been taken away. And the very team that he had brought back wanted to kill him. But he found time to be alone and to encourage himself in the Lord. And now, when we look at some of the things that he did, especially in the story of David and Goliath, we find that David was one unique person in that when he gets to the battlefield and he sees this giant, you can see one of the things that he thinks so highly of not just himself, but his God. And so when he sees Goliath, he starts asking questions that show, without a shadow of a doubt, that number one, he's not afraid. But number two, he is thinking, who is this that's insulting me and insulting my people and insulting my God? And he asks questions about what will happen to the person that kills this guy? These are lion kind of questions. You and we need to develop an ability that instinctively thinks about lunch instead of thinking about fear at each point. That's how we get to the place that we need to get. Believe that you are mightily blessed, you're highly favored, you're deeply loved. Like John, think of yourself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. You are eternally and unconditionally loved. Also, know that your failures qualify you for being an ambassador. Some of your failures are ways in which you can become an example. Know that God specializes in the rejected, and many of the people that made it in the Bible's Hall of Fame are people that were rejected by society. In this, it is in the same way in this world. That this is things that help us to move to the next level. In conclusion, I would love for you to think about these things. How can you consciously schedule to have some time during the week to be alone? How can you set apart some time to do that? I want you to ask yourself, do you stand up for your views and opinions, and how can you do that more for yourself? How can you improve in focusing your mind on positive and uplifting thoughts? How can you celebrate, and how do you celebrate your victories? Have you embraced who you are? And what are some limiting beliefs about yourself and about God that you feel are very disempowering to you? Think about these things as you increase your value, because as a scaling leader, you've got to have enough belief in yourself and in what God has placed upon your life so that when you go into the marketplace, you are not quiet. You've got an opinion and you've got value to give. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night.